Looks like we're gonna move on to some ideas for yield. Is that a fair way to say it? Item number five, real estate investment management services. Richard?
Thank you. There's a booklet in front of you, Brazos River Authority Investment Manager Evaluation REITs Real Estate Investment Trust. And yeah, this is actually kind of twofold. One, they tend to have very good yield over time, and two, also capital appreciation. So the combination of both have had very good returns over long periods of time. And if I think back correctly over the last 20 years, not 10 years, because they really had a great first 10 years, that the overall return from the asset class has been right around 10%. REITs have, at the end of the day, pay off what's happened in the real estate market. In the intermediate time, because they are liquid assets, they tend to have a little bit higher correlation to the equity markets, going up and down with the equity market. But still having a very nice yield over time or income component. On page one, a look at the various REIT managers that we're looking at here: Cohen and Steers, Vanguard REIT Index, Natixis AEW Real Estate Fund, and ING Real Estate Fund, and then the index, which is the Wilshire REIT Index. And all of the managers have done well. If you notice, they've all tracked fairly closely to each other. And as we talked about earlier, there was a big run-up, and then, of course, 2008 hit, and there was an absolute cliff, as it were, with all capital appreciation assets at that particular point in time, and the recovery has been quite steep also coming out of that, with a little bit of a trail down here during the third quarter of this year, and then back here in the fourth quarter. If you could turn to page two and a look at year by year performance for the various REIT funds. You can see that 2002 was fairly flat. 2003 was really a good year. 2005 was a decent year. 2006 was a great year. 7 and 8 were not so good. And that's when the market started to sell off, and REITs participated in that sell off. 2009 and 10 were very good recovery years. And then this last year, with the sell-off in the third quarter, positive returns in the mid to high single-digit areas.
Richard, one of the things that, of course, obviously what we hope to acquire is opposite correlation to the rest of the market. But
yeah,
these particular ones follow the market just like any other asset.
Pretty close. And the way other ways to get, that diversification, but it also puts you into a little bit of illiquidity type of situation. And if you want the pure diversification, then you can get into some real long lockup time frames, and it takes out the emotional component of the market. At the end of the day, you're going to get about the same returns.
One of the things, and again, my stupidity shows, sir, I didn't realize when we started, these are really, lack of a better word, fund to funds. In other words,
yes,
Cohen manages or participates as an investor in multiple projects.
Right.
As do all the others.
Right. And so that adds to the diversification, if you will,
right,
so that if you get one that's not so good, hopefully you've got one that's really good.
I've had to deal with those that were not so good. and to say, when I first looked at this, I didn't realize that, because my familiarity was very, very limited, and
so we're actual, they own the properties.
Right.
If it was a hospitality, breed, or whatever. Whereas, when I look at these, they have multiple, although they have a focus maybe of some particular segment of the market.
Yeah.
Basically,
Yeah, and that focus will transition over time, depending on what they think is happening in the, you know, in the markets, as whether they move, you know, more into hospitality, you know, more into housing or that type of thing, and they'll do it. They'll move.
Address liquidity with it, having it this way. Is it immediate?
Or yes.
Still,
yes.
Not,
2 days.
Not subject to any of the
2 days.
Okay. Not subject to some of the things that you run into with an individual REIT, for lack of a better word.
That's correct. You don't have
they
that.
They don't have liquidity a lot of times.
Right. Yeah. These are. I mean, it's like same week type of thing, or 2 days liquidity, or that type of situation. So.
What's your choice? What. We'll put you on the spot. Then we got five great ideas.
Well, you know, they're all, you know, very good managers, or you know, we wouldn't have them here.
How much do they cost? Are they expensive?
That's what that was my question.
Excuse me.
How much are the expenses and the fees?
All of the, you know, the fees and expenses in these things tend to be fairly, you know, close. The least expensive, because and you would think about this, because most of the time you hear about it, Vanguard would be the least expensive of the REIT managers.
Do we have that here? What their expenses are?
I didn't see it.
Right there. I don't think expenses on it. When I looked at a bunch of them, they were 1.5 to 2% what I typically found, with the exception of Vanguard, as you said.
Right. Right. They're all very close from the standpoint of expenses, Vanguard being the least expensive. All of these returns you see are net of fees.
Are they net of fees? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's after whatever fee that's, you know, that's being charged.
On page 5, Richard?
Yes.
Net of fees didn't provide a lot of kick. Vanguard didn't perform any better than
right.
Net-wise.
Well, Vanguard also tends to be more index-like,
oh, yeah,
too, and that they, you know, try and cover the waterfront.
Gotcha.
And that reduces their.
On page 5, it, you know, what I'm seeing, I'm colorblind, so I can't really see the lines. It looks like a bunch of static. But on the number chart, through this rolling 3-year rate, rolling 3-year return. If I'm reading this properly, there are 4 years of negative numbers throughout these reads. December 08 through June 10. So you have 4 years of negative numbers, followed by 3 years of single-digit returns. Correct?
These are, yeah, rolling 3-year, yeah. Because once you get into the negative, it hangs on for a while.
So what... You know, these things have been a real tough investment, just like all other investments.
Right.
And this is I think a good snapshot of what that return looks like. And so do you anticipate, you know, there's a lot of talk about these old returns on the other side of those 4 years of negative numbers. Do we anticipate that these REITs are gonna get back to those levels of returns? Because they're not. And they're single digits for 3 years. Are these the returns that we're going to expect?
Well, actually, if you'd have thought about, you know, the old adage of, you know, buy low, sell high, you always want to try and get into something when everybody else
sure.
wants to sell it. And that was, in fact, the case here. They have not recovered back to their prior highs, so effectively, you know, you're not really paying up, and there's been a lot of additional, if you will, benefit that's going into some of these, into these funds. So I don't see any reason why at the end of the day you're not going to get similar longer term, you know, return numbers out of them, and which means that if you come in when you're at a relatively low timeframe, you've got a little bit more wind at your back.
One of the issues that I've heard mentioned is the fact that evaluation of the properties inside these REITs. Have they been marked in the market? Are they still carrying them at cost, or?
No, they're most all of the REITs go through quarterly reevaluations of part of their portfolio, so that on an annual basis, all of the portfolio has a reevaluation.
Okay. Aing has been purchased by another group now, as I understand it.
Yes.
CBRE, whoever they are.
Right.
You still haven't answered my question. Which one do you recommend?
Well, I will tell you if you look at that chart, which is kind of interesting on page 5, the two that tend to stay somewhere up around the top of everything all the time tend to be Cohen and Steers. Looking at the, you know, the blue line and how it's kind of, you know, relative ranking, that is how they're doing against other REITs. And also the ING Real Estate Fund. We have clients with both of them. Both of them are very, very good. I wouldn't have actually don't have a problem with any of these particular funds, and from that standpoint, whichever one, you know, you'd say, okay, I like that one a little bit better than this one, but the consistency of those two funds have been very, very good on a rolling basis.
You're buying low and selling high, and now it's not the time to buy, right?
No, I said they haven't gotten back to their previous highs. So effectively, you don't have. I mean, it's not like all of a sudden you've been on a big up. Well, we have been on an upswing, but it was from a point at which the market was terribly oversold.
Basically, you're saying that we're still in what you would consider a discount environment.
I think we're in a fair price environment.
Who sells these? Broker? Who's our broker on this? Who would sell them?
Well, you buy them direct.
No, you get. It would go. You know, have Wells Fargo go right to the fund and do it. We don't have an intervening.
So they don't get. Broker. Nobody gets a commission for selling.
Well, whoever they use would get whatever it is, whatever the negotiated rate is, or that type of thing. But since these are, you know, mutual funds, it goes right. There's no per share type of thing that would be.
Are they no loads or not? Does anybody know?
Yeah, they're no loads. These are institutional. We're talking about institutional shares here.
Oh, that's right. These are public shares.
Yes.
How did you pull up financial information on them?
Right.
I think I saw on Cohen and Steers, what did a $500,000 initial investment, or $500,000
minimum?
There was a minimum.
There are minimums to get into the institutional shares.
Yeah.
But the recommendation is that we go getting very close to our overall allocation, which would be basically to put $1 million in each one of them, or whichever one.
Looking at the list of holdings, the Cohen and Steers was more diversified than all the others that appeared to me. I mean, from the holdings they had. They got a list of people that tell you that goes on and on and on.
Well, that's true. They have a very big list. You get with ING, you get a little bit more, if you will, concentration from times to times. They will move into areas a little bit quicker than Cohen and Steers will, but that's the only, you know, but they're both incredibly diversified.
Okay, so you're recommending we authorize or recommending we consider this resolution? That's your recommendation?
Well, what's the resolution?
To authorize
it is recommendation.
Our general manager to, well, that's really the point of
to invest $1 million in blank REIT.
Let's cover the resolution now. On tab 5, and I can read it, Phil, unless you read it, please.
Be resolved that the retirement committee has registered with authority and authorized General Manager Steel to execute an agreement with Wells Fargo.
No, that's
Toby.
Okay, whoever it is.
Whoever it is, yeah.
To provide real estate investment management services to the retirement plan for employees of the registered with authority, friend DB plan, close friend, and the defined contribution plan for employees of the registered with authority, friend DC plan, close friend, with the agreement containing such terms and conditions consistent with the investment policies of the DB plan and the DC plan and in the best interest of the registered with authority.
Well, since these are mutual funds, there wouldn't be any, what do you want to call it, agreement.
It'd just be a direct purchase.
Right.
Okay. So that's what our authorization, that's the meaning of this resolution, to give Phil Ford, the our CEO, the authority to invest in this type of an instrument. Is there a motion for us to approve this?
We need a motion for it.
Then we can ask a question after we...
Well, we need to fill in that blank.
Yeah.
Which reads...
Yeah, that's right. I keep asking Richard, which one?
I would tell you that it's hard for me to choose between ING and Cohen and Steers.
I agree.
How did you arrive at the four that you picked to bring?
Well, our research staff covers, multiple REITs, and these are the ones that filtered to the top.
Based on their past 5 years.
Based on going back for the last 10 years of
data. But see, it's really hard to know what they're going to do from here forward.
Right? Well, that's right.
That's what we're buying.
That's right. So you that's right.
And
the thing that we try and what we try and do is look at what I guess contributed to that past performance.
Well,
and the graphs that really tell you something about that is page 8, and it really goes into the underlying philosophy and of these particular funds and the process that they're using is looking at upside and downside capture. And what you want to do over time is make sure that you're trying to get with somebody that has something that helps preserve capital when you've got a bad market. And that is, they don't participate on going down more than the market does, and hopefully not as much. And how has that happened over time? And if you look at the last... 5 years, which is on that page, the upper left-hand graph, you can see that both Cohen and Steers and ING had about the same amount of downside capture. They were between 96 and 95% of the down market. ING had more of the upside capture. They captured 100% of it over the last 5 years, and Cohen and Steers captured a little less than 97%. If you look at the prior 5 years, when there were downside, market capture was 90% for Cohen and Steers, and then 101% of the upside. So they had a gangbuster, previous 5 years. The ING had about 98% of downside, so they did protect a little bit on the downside, and they participated again 100% of the upside of the market. The combination of those over the full 10-year time frame, they're both capturing about 100% of the upside of the market and between 95 and 96% of the downside. So they got some downside capture, but great upside capture in the market. And that's what I tend to gravitate to those charts.
Again, that's based on what they did in the past, and you're talking about an investment you're going to have for years and years. We're going to be in this till 2045. Is that what I read? So in the long run, I understand all these numbers are net, but it's easy to pick funds when you look backwards. Going forward, if you believe that markets are somewhat efficient, I really have a hard time making a decision on this without having any idea what I'm paying for the fund. When your expense ratios get high, it's hard for anybody to be smart enough that they can consistently beat an index enough to pay an exorbitant expense ratio. And I don't know what the expense ratios are in these because it information doesn't appear.
Right. Well, I can...
Do we have a motion to approve this resolution?
Don't have it filled in yet.
Yeah, let me...
Well, we've got the REITs before us, and these are the only REITs that we'd be considering.
At this point.
Now, the other the thing, I guess getting back to, yeah, this is what they've done and how they're going to, you know, do in the future. And I've always gone back to, you can't buy prior returns. There's just no way. But you can buy the process, the people, and the philosophy that they've used to get those returns. And that's, in effect, what we're doing. And that's why I try and move and look at how have they structured their portfolios in the past to generate those returns and what got there. In the mutual fund area, we are talking about net, not gross returns. It's harder when we talk about separate portfolios because then there is a big difference in what fees are being, charged because you're getting gross returns. And they don't.
If I may, Richard, what are y'all's opinions of these? If we took $1 million of our $20 million and invested in that, is that something that you consider prudent? And do you think we'll expect single digits or greater return over the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years?
I would say not over the next 3 and 5, but maybe over the next 10 to 20. That's what you really should be looking for.
Long-term investment.
I think REITs over long periods of time contribute to portfolios. Who knows where we're at? The question that the CEO asked.
Are we at the bottom, or they're going to keep struggling?
You really don't know. We're kind of in a new norm.
Sure.
Those terms okay. Out there possible.
Thank you. Richard, are these the REITs that we're going to consider investing in?
Yes.
The only ones?
Well, I mean, you can consider any other ones. These are the ones that we're recommending at this time.
Okay.
I mean, if there's some other REIT you'd like to have information on, we can certainly, put them into the mix.
Yeah, well, the way our resolution before us is considered, it's kind of wide open, so if we could, we could limit it currently to these REITs that we've analyzed and reviewed. Is that okay, Phil? We have a resolution that's been read, and we can include in the blanks these direct investments in the funds that are presented in the REITs. Do we have a motion to make this resolution?
Are you including all of them, or are you trying to?
Right. Including all of them for consideration to give him the authority to purchase. Now, I'm trying to get to the point where we can have questions and either table this or move on. So we have these REITs, and I can name them, the five REITs here that are funds, to give Phil the authority to purchase. Now, do we have a motion to approve that resolution?
I guess I was under the impression that what we would do as the retirement committee is select one of these that we would be the one that we were selecting as our choice and our responsibility as the retirement committee.
It's a big okay, decision. Do you have a recommendation? Does anybody have a recommendation to buy one?
Yeah,
what is it?
You go and share.
Okay.
Yeah, you can select one, you can select two.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for Cohen and Steers to be the fund that we would buy. And that resolution's been read. Now we've completed it. We have a motion and a second. Are any other questions or comments about this? Bill?
I have reservations on doing something when I don't know what I'm paying for it. Okay. I really do. I've never invested, even though it's only $1 million. To invest it and have no idea what the expense ratio is and what I'm doing.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? If I could.
Yes. Oh, she posed.
Okay, we're ready to poll?
Sure.
Did we get first and second?
Yes, we did.
Director Dennis?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
No.
Mr. Collinsworth?
No.
Mr. Forte?
Yes.
Mr. Velez?
No.
Did we pass?
4-3.
Barely. Beware, Phil.
Don't mess it up.
Don't foul it. Your staff wasn't too favorable for it.
I do think there's more due diligence. Let me ask now that that's done. I think it is prudent to come back and have the fees and so forth.
Oh, I can get those within a couple of minutes as soon as I could get.
In due respect to the director, I think he's got a valid point. I can tell you by looking at some of them, I did the fee is about 10% a year.
Well, in the institutional, they're probably going to range anywhere from like 83 to 110.
Can't we pull it up right now on the internet?
Yeah.
CSRSX is going there. CSRSX.
How can you see that?
CSRSX.
It's that.
Okay, $64.60, 52-week high is 67, 52-week low is 51, no price anywhere.
Yeah, you got to dig down.
Is that not it?
Well, no, that's just what it's selling for. You actually need to...
They didn't put the tickers in here. I was going to call somebody, make sure that's the ticker.
I think that's right. Somebody can double check it.
That's the institutional ticker?
No, that I can't tell you, Richard. When I found CSRSX, and that, I wrote that down. But after that, I did not look further to determine what it was.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on. We got another consideration for investment. Cohen and Steers Realty shares, by the way, are $64.60, down 95 basis points. They're up year to date 6.2%. No loan. Expense ratio is 0.97%. Risk rating by Morningstar is average.
There's your expense ratio right there,
0.97. Looks like they're.
What's a minimum investment?
Looks like $10,000.
Okay, so that would be the institution.
But I don't know if that's it or not.
That would be the
minimum retail. Investment's $10,000.
Yeah, that's retail side. Institutional ought to be different than that.
It should be like $100,000.
Anyway, it would you know that the ma- that it would
wrote
be.
Wrote down $500,000 for some reason.
Well, you know it's no more than 0.97 because the institutional will be cheaper.
Yeah. That's right.
September of 11. Since inception, 12%, 5 years, -1.94, 3 years, 33%. And that's what it is.
What's the
top five sectors? Financial services. But this was a.
What's the sticker for the Vanguard?
We'll see what it is. It's a group.
Simon Property, Equity Residential, Austin Property, owns all these.
All those are part of the Cohen and Steers.
Money buying other money.
Yep.
Okay. That's what we agree.